The revival has hit Texas A&M. They've made it to Texas A&M now. So it's spreading. I think for the longest time I've been believing for the end time revival. And I think this could possibly be that. I mean, who am I to say one way or another, but I think this could possibly be, because it's the young people and it's spreading fast. And you gotta know that we're close to another dispensation. So we're just going to have to watch and pray and keep believing. Do we have any prayer requests? No? Okay. Open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The gospel is simple. If it doesn't lead to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, it's not the gospel. If it ever points to you and your efforts, that's not the gospel. Now, there are some things that we've been called to do, but we do those through Christ. We do those because He won the victory for us. How many of you have ever tried to quit a bad habit? How many of you have ever said, I am going to do this. I can beat this. I will win this. How many of you have lost, hands down? An interesting thing, I was reading the Joseph Prince Daily Grace one time, and he said he had a man that went to his church that chain smoked cigarettes, literally several packs a day. And he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. But he said he felt so bad that he couldn't quit smoking. But he got a hold of the grace message, and he found out that he was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he made it a habit. Every time he lit a cigarette, he said, I cannot quit smoking, but Jesus has conquered this for me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And he smoked his cigarette. And this went on for several months. But he kept confessing that. Every time he lit a cigarette, he confessed that. He said, I can't quit, but Jesus has won the victory for me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then one day, he just woke up, and he didn't have a craving for cigarettes, and he went smoke-free from there on out. What happened? He put the pressure on Jesus where it belonged. He put the pressure on the gospel where it belonged. He took his self-effort and his pride out of the way, and he admitted that I can't, but Jesus can. That's where we need to be. The gospel of grace is simple. Works is just that. It's work and it's hard. Now that guy could have put himself in a position where he thought he was going to earn a blessing from God if he quit smoking. And then he would forever be frustrated and eventually probably just give up. Because he wouldn't be able to quit that way. Because he'd be on his own willpower. But what he did, he took the blessing and used the blessing against them cigarettes, and he won. Did you know that's what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to just take the blessing, receive the blessing, and use that for our victory. That's the same way we get healed. We don't ever, when we get attacked, we don't ever say, okay, I'm going to go to church every Sunday, and I'm going to read my Bible 3 times a day, and then I'm going to do service work 4 times a week, and then I'm going to get healed. That's not how we do it, is it? Because that would be, we'd be trying to earn our healing from God. We'd be trying to earn a free blessing from God. Instead, we simply say, okay, look, I've been attacked with the sickness, but the Bible says that by His stripes I was healed. I'm going to rest in Jesus' victory. Doesn't that seem a little more simple? But unfortunately, people get a mindset that they have to earn something from God. Obviously, you know, if we don't work, how can we expect to receive something? That's a worldly mentality. But the kingdom mentality says that we have to first receive so that we can give. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23 says, "This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandment." So we are to believe on the name of Jesus. Now look at chapter 4, verse 16. It says, "We have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Now, when we believe the love that God has for us, and we believe on the name of Jesus, great things happen for us. Obviously, when Peter and John walked up to the temple to go up for the temple worship, and there was a man lame in his feet there, and that guy got healed, and everybody come rushing up to Peter and said, like he was something cool, and Peter said, "No, no, no, it was faith in that name. It was the name of Jesus. It was faith in His name that healed this man." We're to believe on the name of Jesus. We're to believe on Him. The Bible tells us to believe on Jesus. So how do we believe on Jesus? Well, we look to the cross. What happened at the cross? What happened when He shed His blood? What happened when we became believers? All these new creation realities. Now, we're sitting there one day and we're listening to a sermon, and some preacher says that righteousness means right doing. Well, we've been running around trying to do the right things for a long time and we've been failing. I mean, we hit, you know, we may hit at 75%, 80%. There might be some guys that are hitting 90%. But nobody's going to get it right all the time. But that's not what righteousness is. Righteousness means that we've been put in right standing with God. Now, because of that, we can go out and do right. But we're already in right standing with Him. But we don't do right to earn favor with God. We're already there. the same way, we don't try to make ourselves a new creature in Christ. We just got to believe that that's what happened at the new birth. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how the Holy Spirit came in there and turned a heart of stone into a heart of flesh and made your spirit alive again. That's the operation of the Holy Spirit, and how he does that, nobody knows. That's just what he does. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus said this. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." First thing he said there, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Under the law, when a man is trying to keep the law is burdensome. The law is hard to keep. The law is impossible for us to keep. That's why he said, you're working hard, you're laboring. He said, "Come to me and find rest. I'll give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." One thing that he tells us is to learn of Jesus. When we learn of Jesus, we get revelation of his grace. When we learn of Jesus, we get a revelation of his grace. Every time we see what he did for us in his death, burial, and resurrection, we get a little more revelation of his grace, because it took his grace to do that for us. That's the gospel. It is the gospel. Grace. He took what we deserved so that we could take what he deserved. I told that to a guy one time, and he was a very religious man, a devout man. And he said, "That's not fair." I said, I know it's not fair. We deserve the punishment, but Jesus took it. And then he gave us what he deserved. That's grace. That's the gospel of grace. We could not earn it. We could not deserve it. We could never attain to it. We can only receive it. Now here's the kicker. You will find rest unto your souls. Some of the meanest people I ran into are in church every Sunday. They work hard. They go to church every Sunday. They read their Bible. They do absolutely all kinds of stuff. They just really try to attain to a level of righteousness that they can only receive, but they're trying to work it, they're trying to earn it, and they get frustrated, they get mean, because they keep falling short of this high standard that they have set themselves to. And then they figure that if they do right, if they do good enough, they're going to get blessed. But if they make a mistake and they don't do good enough, they're not going to get blessed. So they end up getting mean. And that's not what we're supposed to do. There's even some of them that have nervous breakdowns because they're afraid that they're not getting it good enough. I knew some really dear people, and one of them was actually a prophet. a wonderful, wonderful man. And he lived every day of his life in fear that he was going to make a mistake. And I tried to tell him, I said, "You're going to make a mistake. But Jesus has already taken care of it." See, there's a religious mindset that said if you don't get it perfect, you're not going to receive. The gospel says, you're not going to get it perfect, but because of Jesus, you're going to receive if you believe. The most honest thing, I remember early on, I was reading the Bible and I was trying, and I was crashing every day. And I was reading my Bible, and finally one day I threw it down on the table. I said, "I can't." I told God, I said, "I can't do this. I can't." I told him, "I make a mistake before I even get out of the house. And then I got to start over. And then I fail before I get to the pickup. And then I got to start over and I fail before I get to work." I said, "I give up." That was the best thing I could have done. I gave up my own efforts and started believing on Jesus. I couldn't be good enough. Nobody can be good enough. Only Jesus could be good enough. Now because He's good enough and we're in Him, we're good enough because of Him. Amen? We just got to keep it simple. Here's the kicker here. In verse 30, said, Jesus said that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you find where your Christian life is not easy and it's burdensome, you got to stop. Because you're law-stricken. There's some place in you that thinks you have to do something good enough or well enough or right enough to qualify. I remember struggling with this in Bible school, and I got so out of whack with the flow of the Holy Spirit that in my mind I wasn't qualified to do the things that Jesus said I could do because I didn't do everything right. And I'd go and I'd repent and I'd ask God to forgive me and I'd ask God to forgive me and I'd ask God to forgive me and I'd ask God to forgive me. And then pretty soon it got where I didn't want nothing to do with communion because I had a false understanding of the communion. And I didn't really want to pray for anybody. Because I felt like, because I made that mistake, I wasn't qualified to operate in the power of God. I was living under the law. Because I was looking at my efforts and my ability instead of looking at Jesus' efforts and His ability. So I had no rest in my soul. I had no peace. I had to stop that. I had to get it simple. Everybody needs to keep it simple. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Right there, when we look to the cross, we're looking to the power. When we look to what Jesus did on the cross, we're seeing the power. When we look to Him, we're in the power. When we're believing on the name of Jesus, we're walking in the power. We are weak, but He is strong. That song, we sing that song every once in a while. We are weak, but He is strong. It's always got to be about Him. If it ever turns out or it's got to be about you, it's going to be frustrating. It's going to be hard. Now, go up to verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Now go down to verse 17. It says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Paul was telling them to keep it simple. Keep it about the cross. Keep it about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is the gospel. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Whatever you're hearing, whatever you're studying, if it doesn't lead to Jesus Christ and Him crucified as the answer, it's not the gospel. It's just not. It's got to be all about Him. When we really just put our focus on Him and what He did, that makes things a lot simpler. You know, that keeps our prayer, you know, sometimes people will ask you to pray and they may have some big issues. And in the natural, you may look at it like, whew, you know. I remember struggling with this one time. Somebody asked me to pray for a guy with brain tumors. And I thought, oh, man, I'm going to have to go fast and pray. Well, that shot me right out of the game right there. Just that fast. Boom. Thank God I ran into John chapter 14, verse 12, 13, 14, where Jesus said, if you will ask anything in my name, that will I do. So you mean, all I have to do is just go pray and you do the doing. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the miracle worker. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the everything. All we have to do is just pray in the name of Jesus. Doesn't that make things a lot simpler? Yeah, because that's the gospel. Now, let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Notice, we just left Corinthians. And the Corinthian church was a pretty crazy group of people. But there was miracles going on in that church. Why? Because they believed in the grace of God. They believed in the gospel. They believed in His grace. Paul reminded them of who they were so he could get them back on the right track. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So what is the yoke of bondage? The yoke of bondage is the law. Now, there's a kind of a hybrid form, you might call it, or a morphed form of the law. You know, There's a lot of preachers running around saying, you're saved by grace. Now that you're saved, here's these five things that you have to do in order to maintain your salvation. Are you saved by grace or not? They'll say, you have to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have to read your Bible. Or you have to do service work in the community. Or you have to go into the mission field. Or you have to tithe. Or you have to fast. There's the list of things are just numerous on these demands that they will place on people in order for them to get to heaven. So evidently, they're not saved by grace anymore. Well, what happened is right here in verse 1. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. How do we do that? No, I am absolutely saved by grace. Everything I'm going to get is going to come through Christ. Everything I'm going to receive is going to come through Christ. Everything that I qualify is because of Him. He qualified me for everything because of Him. My job is to receive. But they got entangled with the yoke of bondage. There's a lot of people. I remember one time I baptized a lady in a Southern Baptist church. She got water baptized. And she had been sitting in church for 30 years waiting for somebody to tell her that she did not have to get water baptized to get to heaven. She actually came right up to me and she asked me, said, so are you telling me that I don't have to get water baptized to get to heaven? I said, absolutely. She said, I want to get baptized right now. What happened? Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10 tells us how to get to heaven. Believe in our heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's it. If there was anything more to it, God would have said, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and go to church every single Sunday for the rest of your life. If there was anything else, God would have put it right there for us. Man adds to. See, the Christian church, they've fallen into the same trap that the Pharisees fell into. The Pharisees will go to the ends of the earth to get a proselyte. Jesus told them, said, you guys go to the ends of the earth to get a proselyte. You bring them in. And then you make it so miserable for them that they can't attain it. Because you add two, you put more burden on them on stuff that you can't even keep. Amen. You know, one of the crazy things that I've ran into, I've talked to a lot of people, and they said, you know, I would go to church, and I used to go to church, and I was trying to live right. I was trying to do the best thing I could do. And he said, but I'd get out of church, and the people that were telling me that I had to do this and I couldn't do this, we're doing the things that I wasn't supposed to do. And they weren't doing the things that they told me I had to do. So I just said, heck with it. I'm done with it. What happened? They got their focus off of the gospel. And they started a list of all these do's and don'ts. You know a funny thing about Hollywood? used to be called Holywood. Serious. Used to be called Holywood. And they came up with this idea that they was going to use TV to spread the gospel. This is something I had read. But they got law stricken. And then they got scattered out. They got lost. Now it's not Holywood no more. Wow. That dust was special today, don't you think? Man, it took a long time to get it washed out of my eyes, and I still don't have it washed out of my throat. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? You're telling these people to do things that you don't even live by. Somebody comes at you with a list of do's and don'ts, turn around. Somebody comes up to you with a list of things that Jesus did for you, pay attention. Pay attention. You notice something about the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Said, you shall not do this. You shall not do that. You shall do this and you shall do that. Guess what happened to people for thousands of years? They didn't do the things they were not. They didn't do the things they were supposed to. They did the things they weren't supposed to. Because the law in itself is weak through the flesh. That's why God found fault with it, because no man could keep the law. Only Jesus could. Now he said, believe on the name of Jesus. Believe on him. Amen. I noticed something. When somebody is really under grace and really believing on the name of Jesus, they're not sleeping with their neighbor's wife. They're not killing anybody. They're not praying to idols. They're not doing the things that they're not supposed to do. And they are doing the things that they are supposed to do. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. A new creature in heart. A new creature in Christ. I mean, when you got born again, your heart got circumcised. Your heart got circumcised. I've noticed there's a lot of emphasis on the circumcision, even today in the Christian church. There's seems like there's a lot of people are not going to leave the hospital without getting that baby circumcised. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about why? Are you under grace or not? Are you in a new covenant or are you still playing with the old one? Verse 13. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. It's not your outward works. That's not going to get the job done. Being circumcised in your heart is what matters. That's what makes a new man. That's what makes a new creature. When you say, Jesus be my Lord, you got the circumcision of your in your heart. There was a lot of emphasis evidently in Paul's day when people would get born again. There were some people that were out there that were trying to get them circumcised once they did get born again. As if that was going to do anything for them. Under the old law, under the old covenant, under the law, you better be circumcised. I mean, you better be. But you're not under that old contract. You're not under that old covenant. You've been brought into a new covenant. I'm not saying, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to tell anybody, you know, don't get your baby circumcised because there's just, it's just a ball of worms that doesn't need to be argued about. It's a non-essential scruple. But I'm just saying, look, if you're not circumcised in your heart, it doesn't matter what you've done to your flesh. You got to be circumcised in your heart. That means you got to be born again. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us every day. And Father, we thank you for this revival that has hit this land. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus, by the power of the mighty Lord and his Holy Spirit, that you'll sweep this whole land. You'll bring it all over this whole country and all over the whole world. Father, that the name of Jesus will be proclaimed in every corner of the world, under every tree, around every bush, in every building, in every tribe, in every nation, in every language. Father, that this will be your big revival and your big day. Father, we praise you in the name of Jesus, and we ask that this happens. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in such a cool time.